quickly, Section 8 or public housing. And these, they now have the Interracial Foster Family Program. And they have a huge surplus of donated little black boys. Donated. Not arrested, but donated. And this tends to unbalance the program. The federal courts want it balanced, so the program is told to seek white and reluctantly accept black into the program. And the white moms have a higher priority than the black moms because there are very few white mom applicants and lots of black mom applicants. And if they treated the black and white moms equally, the program would get out of balance. You still there?
Yep.
Now, the schoolgirls know. The word trickles down from high school to middle school about how the welfare system operates. And the girls know how to get a house and how to get an EBT card. And a white baby won't get them either. If you have a white baby, you better hide it real quick because they will call Child Protective Services. Now, if you have a black baby in school, the bureaucrats will huddle around you and help you every way they can. And now the most common foster family in Alabama is a black he and a white she. Now, this foster family program, if they can get five children and three of them are learning disabled, they get $1,500 a month for the normal kids and $2,000 a month for the learning disabled kids. And if you do the arithmetic on this, it works out to $108,000 a year. And the word trickles down from the higher grades down to the lower grades, and the little girls know that if you marry a white man, you're going to be poor. But if you have an African baby, you're off on the road to a free house, free electricity, and an EBT card, and 18 years when you don't need to work. And oh, by the way, if your child is learning disabled, that $500 a month continues his entire life.
Well, you know, I am a little, I don't know that I'm shocked, okay, because I was a CASA for a while. But what concerns me is what I saw about what's happening in Greece, and what concerns me is that this could happen here. In Greece, they decided to up the social service program, the government employee program. They greatly escalated it and offered all kinds of services and benefits, and it took a lot of employees to implement that. Okay? People who had never, and I've seen this right here in Central Ohio, people who had never had opportunities were all of a sudden being hired as social workers or any number of jobs to implement the kind of programs you're talking about, which were actually added up. I mean, this is not small change. When you add up the volume that they're trying to manage, quote, unquote. Then when the economy took a crash in Greece, all of this army of government workers, they could no longer afford them. And they all almost rapidly, they all, and the programs, they could no longer, in fact, the IMF, the first thing they did is when they defaulted on the debt, is tell them to go into an austerity program, cut down on social services, cut down on education. They had to eliminate these programs. And by doing so, they not only eliminated the benefits for the recipients, They eliminated the employees who were implementing the programs. This created complete chaos. I mean, the number of people who were just left adrift based on the IMF policies were astounding. And you know what, Richard? I can see that, because at what point are they going to say, well, we can't afford this anymore? I mean, they're trying to house all of these illegal immigrants and give them benefits. They're trying to house all these poor people, minorities, give them benefits. At what point is this going to just crack open and it's over, and these people, and can you imagine what happens to society if all of these people are all homeless and they don't have any food?
I forgot to tell you, the new African immigrants that are coming in under the United Nations Refugee Resettlement Program are eligible for the Interracial Foster Family Program.
Yes.
In Alabama.
Yes. Again.
And I can, you can go to Walmart most any day and you'll see a black man who may be a foreigner leading his little white foster daughter around the store.
Well, you know, speaking of Walmart, my husband went to Walmart a couple weeks ago. He came back and told me that all the employees, the staff, that used to be English-speaking white, that all of a sudden they were all black or dark-skinned. He said it was like the whole store changed overnight. Now, that's another boots-on-the-ground report. Have you been, did you look at who are the employees now in Walmart? Has that changed where you are?
They're getting rid of checkers. It's harder and harder to get a cashier. They're getting scarce.
Yeah.
They want everybody to stand in line and swipe a card or something. You know?
That's true. Yeah. Well, I appreciate, I mean, you've obviously got evidence right now that there was a war on whites in Alabama.
One third of the shoppers in Alabama are using EBT card.
What is that?
Electronic benefit.
Oh, okay.
That's the replacement for the food stamps.
Ah, got it.
Electronic benefit.
Did you know Goldman Sachs got the contract for that? According to Max Kaiser.
I thought Wells Fargo had it.
Well, it's been a while. I just remember I listened to one of the shows that he did. It used to be the state would provide these benefits, right? And after this nightmare, this subprime meltdown and the economy almost going into the ditch, they decided to privatize the food stamp welfare program and give it to the banks, the private banks.
Yeah.
So I guess they get to write the rules, huh?
I up to a point, I guess they can, but...
Yeah. It's looking pretty grim. Well, thank you for sharing what's in Alabama. That's really sad.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, at least you're telling the truth of what you're seeing, and that's what we all need to do. We need to start looking around, you know? And I'm glad that you've done that, Richard. Thank you so much for sharing your observations.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Not good, huh? Not good. We have someone from Missouri. Rhonda, are you there?
Yeah, hi, Al. How are you?
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the medical establishment. I actually called into John's show, and Steve Elkins confirmed it. But when my mom was going through some things, what I noticed was, well, the doctor that offered her a morphine to go to sleep and not wake up was Filipino, and the doctor that actually offered her was from India. So, yeah,
wow.
I don't think it's going to be too difficult when people from foreign countries, I don't think they can identify with Americans. And
no, they have a different value system than we do.
Yep. So there's what we have to look forward to, Al. You know, yeah. If there's nobody that has your back, you're gone.
Yeah.
And you're gone. All right, well, that's all I had to share with you. So thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thanks. Well, that's that's scary. Okay.
Okay.
We have someone from Austin. Bill, are you there?
I'm here. It's a great show tonight.
Thank you.
The callers are describing pretty much what's going on across the entire belt of the country. A lot of people just don't speak about it for mainly fear of being politically incorrect. But it seems like we would be repeating history. There is a documentary on Hitler, and the title of it is called The Greatest Story Never Told. I think you played that once before or a clip from it on your show. But anyway, The Greatest Story Never Told.
Yeah.
And it seems that we're kind of repeating in a similar fashion what happened then, because Germany was being degraded by the financial and political elite, and Hitler came in and changed up the money system and took away the sexual perversion and the poverty and turned the whole country around. And if you look at what's happening with Trump and the patriotism now, it's very similar to what happened during Hitler's time when he was bringing Germany up into power. It just seems like a repeat of history in a sense.
Well, I think, you know, we have to make the distinction. That's why I'm doing boots on the ground. We got to make the distinction between what he is telling us, what he's saying that goes out over the airways of the propaganda machine called the TV. What is he saying, and what are we seeing? And he is saying things, or he has said things, that would indicate he's going to make America first again. But at the same time, that's not what we're seeing, boots on the ground. So you have to wonder, you know, I remember reading an article that said during the Great Depression, the media did not report the starvation that was going on in the country. Never did they report it. They were told not to. By the time the people were suffering from the Great Depression, the Council on Foreign Relations had established a strong hold over the major media outlets in this country. They started doing that like in 1921. So when the Depression rolled around, what they were saying in the newspaper and what they were saying in their speeches was not accurate as to what's going on the ground, you know? So I know people would like to think Trump might make a difference, but I would have to see evidence of it. And I'm telling you, in Central Ohio, I see no evidence of it.
Well, you're correct about that. Actually, Trump campaigned on the statistics being incorrect, that the actual unemployment rate was 20 to 25%, and that inflation was higher than what it really was. But then when he gets in office, the same statistics, he takes credit for it. So,
yeah.
But my comparison on society of Germany versus society of today is similar in the same way that the people wanted a change, such as we want a change today, and we're looking for a leader to bring the country out. Whether Trump is doing it or not, it's possibly he's not doing it. It doesn't seem that way. But it's a similar situation where the country is going downhill.
Right.
And the inflation was astronomical at the time because other financial interests controlled the money supply. And they were inflating the money where everyone was in total poverty and no one could find a job, which is similar to what we're going through today.
Yeah, in fact, E. Michael Jones talks about the starvation that was going on. People were actually starving, and that was another motivating factor for Hitler to try to do something about it. And there was a Russian who did an investigation. I'll have to look through my computer about the statistics that came out during the Great Depression. The statistics that they were reporting, you know, they did not report the starvation level, and apparently it was huge. It was absolutely enormous, an enormous number, and I can't remember the figure of people starved to death during the Great Depression. And that's what was Hitler was trying to protect the German people from, that same outcome. These money monsters are happy to do that, to get the, they're willing to let people starve, to get the rulers to bend to their wishes and their financial system. That's one of their strategies. Let the people starve, unless the ruler agrees to the conditions. They're hideous.
Yes. And your previous caller was just speaking of the welfare system in Alabama, and it seems synonymous with many other states in a similar fashion. But as long as we're using the current money system, and they have the ability to print what they want and spend how and where they want, I don't see how we can stop it as long as we're in that system. They will continue to take the wealth and the money and make those programs whatever they want, and just they will destroy any class of people that they choose to.
Yeah, in fact, I remember hearing, and E. Michael Jones talks about it in that wonderful documentary that he did, and I mentioned it, I believe, last week, A Goy Guide to World History. He mentioned the fact that Gaddafi was going to have the gold-backed dinar to sell his oil in. He was moving into a different money, away from the control of the dollar, and everybody really needs to understand what the dollar is. By just taking it apart inch by inch by inch, the dollar, okay, is a Federal Reserve note. The Federal Reserve is a private banking cartel, okay? Therefore, the dollar is the script of a private banking cartel, and started by the Rothschilds. So then you move up the ladder. When the dollar became the world's reserve currency, it became the currency, the world reserve currency of the private banking cartel. Then when they went into the petrodollar, where they got the Arab countries to agree that oil should be sold in dollars and nothing else, you've got the same group of people, a private entity now has created the petrodollar to go global. And oil should be sold only in their currency, their private currency. So that's why Gaddafi, according to E. Michael Jones and others, because he wanted to get out from under the control of that currency for the sake of his people and others, they had him killed. I think, I'm not sure, but I think Michael Rivero talked about that in his wonderful talk that he did, All Wars Are Bankers' Wars. But you're right.
Yes, that's true. If you look at what they call the countries that are considered the axis of evil, it's 99% of the time countries that do not want to use the dollar as their base money system.
Right. And absolutely. And these monster bankers are willing to convince the United States government to send troops to defend this dollar, their private dollar. And the United States government seems more than willing to send our young men and women off to die, exactly the way Michael Rivero ended his All Wars Are Bankers Wars when he talked about central banking. Off our children go to die to protect the interests of the central bank.
Yes, even Ronald Reagan, when he was in office, when he was president, he created what he called the Grace Commission, which was a commission to find out where income tax money was accumulated and being spent.
Okay, hang in there. We're going to break. We'll catch you when we get back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And Bill, was there more you wanted to say? We kind of cut you off.
Well, I just want, since you brought up the Federal Reserve, I just wanted to make that comment about Ronald Reagan and the IRS, that 100% of the money collected from what we call taxpayers that go to the IRS was going toward to banks. It was not going to any roads or bridges or government programs. 100% was going to the banks.
Absolutely. And you can get that more of that information on if you type in your search engine, 31 questions and answers about the Internal Revenue Service. He talks about that in that research that he did. And, yep, he brings in that commission report near, I can't remember which number it is, but he brings that in to demonstrate that the money is going to the Federal Reserve.
Well, thank you for your time. It's a great, great topic.
Okay, thanks for calling in. Good points. Okay, we have someone from New York. Ellis, are you there?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
I was with you up until you got to the point of talking about your restaurant experience. The first thing is, do you remember the, it's been about 3 or 4 years now, the BBC did a report about the Indian cheating scandal?
No.
Incredible. Yeah, I know you said your computer is down, but when you get a chance, just type in a BBC report about the Indian cheating scandal. And they did a report about how Indian families, the parents of Indian children, are scaling walls to the exam rooms and passing on crib, we call them crib notes, to these students so they would pass the test. And at one point, in this one particular area, they arrested 600 parents. 600 parents for cheating. And the report said that this is not uncommon. And then a lot of these parents will do anything to get them to pass the exams, to go on to the eventual goal, of course, is to come here to be doctors and so forth. Now,
Not know that. Wow.
Again, it's from 2015. Just type in Indian cheating scandal. So a lot of the experiences that you've had and I've had with Indian doctors is that they're very standoffish. It's based on the mentality of the caste system, where they consider themselves the highest caste. And if you're an African-American, which is what I am, you really don't get the medical treatment. And but the dilemma in that case is that, for me, is that it's the same treatment that I would get from non-Indian, from white doctors in the past. And we've had so many reports published over and over again about the treatment, the horrible treatment, medical treatment that African Americans have at the hands of non African American doctors. That's the first thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. You know, I've seen pretty horrific treatment by physicians on patients. I have to admit, I have witnessed it myself.
I'm sorry, you've seen what? I'm sorry?
I've seen it. I've witnessed it. You're absolutely right. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you on that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the inventor, the doctor that invented the speculum, J. Marion Sims, who experimented without anesthesia on patients, I can't even imagine that, hundreds of times per patient, the statue of him in Central Park in New York City was taken down because of the protest when it came out. So you see, what happens is, I think, in the white community, you lose a lot of allies because you're trying to make that separation. I mean, how can someone, if my family's been here for 300-400 years, how can someone look upon me as a foreigner?
They don't, but I think they still, when I talk to this gentleman, they still consider you a minority. And yeah, there are many blacks who've done quite well, been here a long time, speak beautifully, no question. But at the same time, they are considered a minority. And one guy did a documentary, which I haven't yet seen. I may want to try to look that up. And it was titled Tyranny of the Minority. In other words, if the majority of middle class is white, you want to take away their influence over society. You want to take away their economic strength. And the best way to do that is to make accommodations for minorities and unemploy the majority. And this is, again, this is what they're doing. They're taking away, these Indian doctors that you're talking about, they're considered in the minority.
How so?
Yeah,
you mean American?
The Indian doctors are minorities, so they're given special accommodation. Okay, stay tuned. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. I just want Ken Ellis to understand, I do not believe the black people are waging a war on whites. I don't believe the white people are waging a war on blacks. I believe that the money monsters, the people at the top of the heap, the oligarchs, they are creating this. They want these factions warring with each other, and they don't want us looking at the economic reality. Okay? So don't misinterpret what I'm saying as me blaming the blacks. This is being done to take down the majority middle class. The majority middle class probably, if they ever got organized, could represent the largest group of resistance to this economic warfare. But if they can neutralize them and make them unemployed, I don't believe the minorities in this country have the wherewithal or the energy or the resources to launch a resistance, an enormous resistance against what the money monsters are trying to do, which is take control over everything. Don't you think?
I agree with that in part. The problem I have is that the white collective refuses to unite and agree with the black community on certain issues that everyone should agree on. For example, police brutality. If a police officer kills a child, says, well, I feared for my safety. And the police officer gets off, and the white community supports that cop. How can you expect to have any allies as a result of just that, an incident like that?
Well, that's, again, that's when we talk about who's supporting who and who's doing what, we really need to talk to the people boots on the ground and not listen to the media. John Whitehead started the Rutherford Institute. He has taken on reporting this violence from our police that's going on across the country. And I never got the feeling that he is differentiating, saying that when the police attacked a white person, it's worse than when they attack a black person. Most of the people that I know don't want to admit that our police are behaving in such a fashion that we should, that they are a risk to our safety. I don't care what color you are. They are a risk to everyone's safety today. And you're right. The whites don't want to admit that. That's scary. They don't want to hear scary things. That's what, that to me seems to be the biggest problem, is they're naive and they don't want to hear that which scares them. That's been my observation.
Well, then the white community has to grow up, at least in that regard.
Can I say second that? Third that? Yes, they've got to grow up. They're acting like children. They're naive. And all of this chaos is going on, and they're acting like the only thing that matters is the football game.
When I saw the what happened with Kelly, oh gosh, I'm drawing a blank now, the white guy in California, homeless, Kelly Thomas, I think his name was, where he was beaten to death by a Hispanic Latino police officer and laughed about it. And I just couldn't believe it, how the white community would allow that to happen to one of their own.
They just believe that they're, I'm telling you, I know these people, they're hard to reach. You know, they are very hard to reach. And when you say things are worse, you know, you're not seeing it on the media. I would love to reach them. You're not seeing the truth on the media, folks. Come on. Wake up. Oh, come on. They don't want to know. Oh, I mean, I've been told that they didn't want to know that the whole 9/11 story is a fantasy. Because if it was, then, oh my gosh, then we're in worse shape than I thought. I don't want to think that. Yeah, they are naive. And you're absolutely right. They need to wake up. And I, for the love of God, I cannot figure out how to wake them up.
Well, I think the country's headed towards a cataclysm of a sort. I hear the talk about a race riot, and God knows that's the last thing this country needs.
That's right. But who would that benefit, right?
Oh, the ones who run this traveling road show up at the top levels.
Yep, absolutely. It would benefit them. And I think, David Icke, there are many people who are out front saying, look, people, fighting each other is not the answer. It is simply not the answer. That's what they want us to do.
Well, how can I, how could I, for example, have an alliance with Patrick Slattery, who's one of the RBN hosts?
I mean, I don't know him, and I'm sorry to say, I don't know all the hosts that RBN has.
Or Farron Schoaf. I mean, these guys, I understand where they're coming from, but they blame the black community for everything.
Oh.
They're awful.
They tell them they need to read the work of Tony Martin. Was he a professor from Cincinnati? They need to figure out who's behind it all, right? Behind it all? Who's on first, you know?
Well, they think that they know it all, because they feel powerless against the real gangsters and the real bullies.
Yes.
And they can't do anything against those characters. Then it's easier to blame me for something that happened, some mistake that I may have made. It's easy to blame me for that, for the larger problem.
Before I let you go, I'd like to direct you to an article that appeared on Rents, and I've quoted it many times, but you may not have run into it yet. New World Order Exposed. And it is the notes. It represents the notes a pediatrician took at a meeting he attended in Pittsburgh in apparently 1969, where another pediatrician came and told him to close the doors and turn on, you know. It was going to be a secret meeting, and he was going to tell him what was coming. New World Order exposed. Most of what he wrote, took his notes, and then later the notes were transcribed, and he's put them out there. You can read what he has to say. Most of it's come true, but people blame what has happened in the black communities on the blacks. And there may be even some people who are blaming the blacks for the poverty and the drugs and the problems in the black community. I suggest that everybody reads that New World Order exposed and see what those monsters had planned for our black communities. And then you start to realize, again, it's the same criminals that have done all of this. They didn't invest in black community businesses, black community light industry, none of it. This was intentional. They intended to keep the black communities poor and involved in the drug war. That was the goal, and that's what they did. The black communities had no vote in that, none, nor did the white people. We had no idea that's what they were doing. I was shocked, even though I witnessed it. In my own lifetime, I was shocked that it was planned and orchestrated.
Oh yeah. Well, welcome to the club. We've known this for my grandparents taught me this many years ago.
Yeah. It's where if they don't want something to survive economically, they can make it poor. They can increase crime just because it's poor, and then they allow people to push drugs in that community, and now you've got gang warfare and all kinds of horribleness, and that was orchestrated.
Now, I'm going to leave you with this. This, as bizarre as this sounds, it's true. In Philadelphia, which is a predominantly black community, there might be more, but I know there's at least one barbershop in the black community owned by Koreans, and they will not hire black barbers.
Wow. Interesting.
That is how wacky we have become.
Yeah, I know. If they can keep us fighting with each other, then nobody pays attention to what they're doing, which is destroying everything. Okay, well, thank you. I appreciate your call and your insight.
Thank you. You too. Now, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, and the next caller is... I lost track, Ken. Okay, thanks. Hello? Yeah. Is this Ken?
Yeah, Ken from New York.
Okay, hi, Ken.
Hi. I just wanted to draw your attention to what's called on the Google map here, on the satellite map, the Islamic Center of Mastic Shirley. And what it's about a 3,000 to 4,000 square foot double story building that's been converted into a mosque over the last, I think it's 8 or 10 years. The thing that's unusual about it is that its clientele appears to be all subcompact taxi cab drivers that are all black.
Okay,
and
now
many of them say medical transport on them, which may go to what you were talking about earlier about they're being supported by DSS services.
Really? That's interesting.
Huh. You got to come by on a Friday afternoon to see it. Unfortunately, the Google picture was taken on an off day, but even with two cars parked out in front of it, you can see one of them is a white miniature taxi cab.
Now, Ken, do you ever take a taxi?
No, I haven't in maybe 30 years.
Well, we need more people taking taxis to tell me who's driving these cars, you know? I mean,
You can say, and on a Friday afternoon, it only seems to be active on Friday afternoon. If you pass by, you'll see there's maybe 100 of these cars in the park. It's like a sea of them. And recently, something must have been bothering them because they erected a large white plastic barrier around the whole perimeter. Because they used to have the cops, you know, they'd be spilling out into the street. And the if you look at it from the front where you see the doors, it has very unusual scroll work on it. It's not the kind of doors you would get from Home Depot. It must have had to order them special.
Well, you know, I'm wondering, we have several cab companies, and if I really wanted to do my research, if I had more time, I might find out where their hub is, right? They must have a hub where the cabs are, where the drivers check in.
They're congregating here on Fridays. I can see that in some houses in the area, you'll find a house where there's five or six of these cabs parked. So I guess they are multiple dwellings.
Can you see who's driving the cabs?
Yeah, there were black people that looked either Indian or it could be Somali. I can't really tell, but they're obviously Muslim because they're all here on Friday afternoon.
Yeah. Geez, that's strange. We have to figure out how that...
It's on William Floyd Parkway in Shirley. You can see it pretty clearly from Google Satellite. And it says Islamic Center, but they're spelling it with two A's, which I'm not sure if that...
I mean, in theory, if affirmative action worked, okay, any adult, and that would include women, if they have the nerve, who's got a good driving record, is a good driver, reliable, shows up, is willing to you know, go out in bad weather, etc., should be eligible to be a cab driver. It doesn't make sense.
I don't think in particular, I suspect what you have is you have a bunch of people that have been let into this country that were given an opportunity and they just took advantage of it. I'm sure there are white taxi cab drivers, but most of what you would describe, you know, as American blacks or whites, most of those cabs are a little larger. They're usually Crown Vics or leftovers from the police departments. I mean, if I was needed a medical transport, I don't think I'd squeeze very well into a Prius.
Maybe I should just take a trip, you know, go eat lunch at the airport and stand outside and watch these cabs roll up and just take a look and see who's in them, you know? I bet I could learn a lot just doing that. A little date research job there, trip.
It's pretty obvious that if at some point, if the service is being let out, sometimes I pass by at different points. The imam is standing there in a white garb, one-piece garb, and he's white.
Wow.
The entire congregation appears to be black.
Interesting. Okay, we have one more caller. I'd like to give him a chance just to say hi.
Good night.
Thank you, Ken, for the info. Appreciate it. Okay, Sovereign Man, you don't have long. Could you like to throw something in and add your two cents?
Yes, I heard you. Thanks for taking my call, Al. I just want to interject that these are not our public servants. This is not our government. These are people that are involved in a corporate takeover and occupying force in America today.
No kidding. I agree.
Okay. So we got to stop giving them power. I mean, let's not claim it. They're not our police. They're not our government.
No.
This is an occupying force. Oh, by the way, before I forget, John Ehrlich said that, and I don't know if you know who he was. He was a former, Department of Justice or Attorney General or something to that effect. This is what he said. He said, couldn't make it illegal to be either against the war or black, but by getting the public to associate the hippies with marijuana and blacks with heroin and then criminalizing both heavily, we could disrupt those communities. We could arrest their leaders, raid their homes, break up their meetings, and vilify them night after night on the evening news.
Yes. Excellent
Don't
quote.
Sound like my America, does it?
It's excellent quote. I appreciate that. Good point. Yeah, this was intended. This was a program. It was a plan. Probably came up. The RAND.
Operation Mockingbird.
Yep. The RAND Corporation probably put that one together. They're the one that put together this nonsense they called consensus science. And I've talked about that. Consensus science is...
Have you seen The Minds of Men, the documentary of Melissa and Aaron Dykes just put out?
No.
You should watch it, honey. It's beautiful.
Minds of Men. I'm going to write it down.
Yep.
Okay.
They released it on the 16th of December.
Okay,
Lessons.
Thank you. I've got to go. Thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Please stay tuned for our imaging prayer that we do every Saturday night. It could make a big difference. It certainly doesn't hurt to try, and it's an enjoyable experience. Sorry. Okay, be back next week. Take care.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
We'd like to end tonight's show by reaching up to a higher power, whatever that might mean to you, to assist us in creating the future we all want. Close your eyes as you listen to this beautiful song by Inca Gold called Shout to the Lord, and image families and children enjoying Earth's healthy meadows, forests, oceans, and mountains in perpetuity. Image them laughing, singing, and dancing. Visualize humanity thriving, free from want or fear. Picture the peaceful world we all deserve. Let's joyfully create our future together.
Months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening.